All right. You all are looking good. Even though it's morning, you're looking good. You know that old thing about people being, you know, morning people or night people. And when you live in a civilization where you have lights on at night, you can't really authentically be a morning person. That's a morning person truly is the kind of person who grew up on a farm in the 1800s, right? You had maybe a candle at night, yeah, you know. But you go to bed at dark and you get up as the dawn, just first crack of dawn, and that's your day. But when you have electric lights and TV and computers, backlit screens and so on, you get all this infusion of light after dark. It really messes up your circadian rhythm to a certain extent. So anyone who has lights on and watches TV at night really authentically cannot be truly that well a morning person unless they turn everything off and they go to bed by like 9 or something. You know, so that they have a full 3 hours of sleep before midnight. That's kind of rough. Otherwise, you're all pretending to be morning people. I'm a morning person, you say, as you hold your coffee. Coffee is what does it. Coffee or tea, that demarcates morning. Right? So your body says, okay, it's morning. But there are certain processes in your body, certain chemical processes that happen at certain times of day. It's part of the rhythms of your life. We're going to talk a little bit about rhythms. We're going to talk about time. Because one of the most frustrating limitations for those of you who are stretching and growing and trying to learn new ways of consciousness, new ways of being, and new levels of success, is how to deal with this kind of onerous substance called time. Time is an invention. It's also kind of the quality of a dimension. You know, you're so used to living in three dimensions. Three dimensions, hey, you got that down pat. But time and space, that's a whole different thing. And a lot of your civilization and cultural paradigm of hierarchy has to do with time and space and how it's allotted to you as an individual, how much value you have. If the more value you have, the more time and space qualities you have. Now, what we mean by that is, you know, the higher ranking you are, the longer your vacation time. You know, it's like you deserve more time for yourself. The lowly peons, you don't deserve much time for yourself. You need to prove that you're valuable to us by overworking yourself. Right? And then space. If you have a lot of money, you can buy a really big house with a big, big garage. You can have several cars or vehicles in it. You can have a long driveway. You can have a bathroom that, you know, the 20 by 15 foot, 20 by 20 foot bathroom, you know, with all the doodahs. All right, we can go into detail about the doodahs. The big tub to soak in with all the jets, you know, 2 showers, you know, definitely double sinks, a kind of a separate water closet with bidet, right? big closets for all sorts of things, and luxury place, a sedan over there on the side to luxuriate with a reading table. You can afford space. But if you're poor, you're just making ends meet, barely. Maybe your parents have to bail you out every now and then. Well, it's pretty luxurious to live in an efficiency apartment. And you pack stuff up on the sides. You have a pathway going right through the middle, you know. Draw up a curtain. Hey, there's a bedroom now. Sense of space in your society is allotted to the people with wealth and status. So, of course, if you want more space and time, you're trained to think, oh my gosh, I've got to work hard and long and earn it or win it with a lottery or something. I've got to do something, got to get a lot of money. I got to manifest something real, real big and real fast. That would be good. Fast would be good. So I don't have to do that long, long build up to it. And only get it when I retire. How many people say, I want to be a millionaire before I'm 30? You know? That's an admirable goal for a young man entering the marketplace. Of course, now, 1 million's not enough. You got to have like 8 or 10 million now to be at that, you know, appropriate snobbery level. But it always comes down somehow to time. You see, if you had as long as you wanted to pay your mortgage, your rent, you know, it wouldn't be a big deal, would it? But there's this deadline every month. So you have to budget, you have to organize to make sure that you can meet a deadline. You have bills to pay. If you send kids to school, or you have pets to take care of, or you have aging parents to take care of, or whatever, you've got bills to pay for others. So you want to manifest abundance of time, abundance of space, and abundance of money. And abundance of anything is dependent upon your perception of scarcity, which also, by the way, is an invention. It's an illusion. This planet was created to be so totally, completely abundant that no one would ever have to go hungry. If you look at the planet in its natural form, the number of species, the numbers of plants, of animals, insects, birds, reptiles, etc., the variety can address and support any body chemistry that a human being wants to explore, can support that. There's a tremendous amount of support that the earth provides. But then there is this whole hierarchical thing, societal thing, and the whole issues about money, value, time, space, and the valuing of them and the appropriate, or sometimes it seems inappropriate, distribution of these to people, creating a certain dynamic of dependency and interdependency and codependency. Now, it's all right to have dependency in your culture, but it's used to manipulate, control, to diminish some and to elevate others. You are breaking this mold by your own spiritual choices, by walking your path. And so it's very important that you be able to free yourself from scarcity, and to free yourself especially from from scarcity of time, space. Time, as we said, is an invention, it's an illusion, it was a creation on the part of human society as a substitute for telepathic or intuitive communication and communion. It is only available, it only works, and can be only created and imagined and used in a culture with a concept of separation. In your past, in your so-called primitive people, they would use time as cycles. There would be a sense of the planetary configurations, sun and moon, the cycles of the moon, the cycles of the seasons, the cycles of the days. And so they would arrange to work with each other, to do things at certain points of cycles, to move the energies of the cycle. They understood that cycles had a momentum, that there was a flow, there was a process, there was an energy that moved in a cycle. And if you wanted to meet with somebody, you would telepathically send a message, you know, I'm going to come and visit with you. And you'd wait, and at some point you get the right signal. Now is the time to head that way. And you'd head that way, and you'd arrive there, and they'd arrive there. How did you arrange that? You didn't have a clock. You didn't say, we'll meet at 2 p.m. on Wednesday. There are so many stories of students of mystical master teachers who go seeking their teacher, don't know where the teacher is, but wherever they show up, the teacher shows up and says, oh, been expecting you. These stories people love, they're in books that people greedily scarf up and, oh, wow, isn't that fantastic? Oh, I wish that magic would happen to me. It will. It is. It can. But you have to understand the nature of time and stop the dissociation and the separation energy. It's time to get plugged in and connected to the flow and the energies of time so that you can utilize what the substance of it is so that you can tap into that dimension and use it as comfortably as you use the first three dimensions. Your attention, what you think of as the present, here, your conscious awareness, is a point, a focal point in all the loops and tangles and energy flows and this and that and the other of time. Time is a kind of an energy that comes from that vibratory resonance of that particular dimension, and the dimension has a quality of movement. The way that you describe the movement in your 3D terminology is in the Mobius strip or the infinity sign. It's the best that you can come to it. Because time is many, many loops of energies moving forward, backwards, in and out. Simultaneously, everywhere. It's happening in your cells, in your bodies, it's happening in the air, it's happening in the rocks, it's happening in the planet, it's happening everywhere. It's a component of everything. It's a part of the substance of everything that is manifest. Has these loops moving, 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 moving. And as such, all these loops being part of time can be any time, anywhere. So we call it simultaneous. In time, everything is happening simultaneously. It's the only way that you can tell what now is from the past or the future is that now is where your point of attention is. If you are during your day, if you're daydreaming and you're thinking about stuff that you did 3 years ago, your point of attention will partially slide into the past. And you won't be fully present. You won't be able to utilize energies of time in a conscious, directive way because you're splitting your focus point between now and the past. Wherever you wish to be, you put a point of reference there in time and pull yourself to it by intention. Because if you're going to try and go on a linear track, you would never find it. Because time is not a linear track. Linearity in time was created by religions as part of a mythological story. You know, each religion has its year that dates back to either creation or a particular significant event in the history of the people. And right now, you are using a calendar that was basically created for the estimated year of birth of Jesus Christ. And this calendar became the dominant calendar. Even though the Chinese have their year, the Jews have their year, other religions, other groups have their years. Even in South America, there are tribes that have years that go way back. So, what's true? What year is it? You're using a reference point and you're putting it on a linear track. Because it was created on a linear track a few hundred years ago, this whole concept evolved. It is possible to create the idea of past, present, and future and have them tied to each other in interesting ways. In other words, your present is supposed to be the result of your past, of who you have been, what your experiences have been, who you've known, where you've gone, what you've done, etc., etc. Right? And the future is something unknown out there that you won't know about until you get there. And then, of course, then you'll be in the present there. So there really isn't any future, but you can dream and plan and hope and pray and all that kind of thing. Now, the Christians used it very easily to promulgate their concept of guilt and sin and salvation, which is a foundation of the whole concept of shame. And that is that you have a certain number of years, you only live once. Talk about a limited perspective here. You're really a pile of crap. And if you're lucky, God will bless you. Right? If you're lucky. And you have to be really nice. You have to be a really good person and do all the right things and perhaps even be saintly and suffer enough. Maybe you'll get a reward. So it set up the whole reward punishment thing. If you're a bad person, then when you die, you will get punished forever. Notice that time implication there? It's forever. Oh, you only live a few years here, but if you are bad, you're punished forever. Or sometimes the Catholics talk about purgatory. You get punished temporarily. All right. Or there's a lot of ingenious things. Or maybe like the Jews, just ignore the whole thing altogether, right? But there's this whole linear setup. Past, present, future. Past, present, future. And so as the culture developed, particularly during the industrial age, where they had linear processes. They created manufacturing. Talk about a linear process, which separated out each individual piece, put it on a line, moved the line through, and by the time you got to the end, every piece being added individually, you got the finished product. It created the whole concept of human as machine, the body as machine. What we've been really working to kind of heal, you know? We've got to get rid of that. If you want to heal, be free, find the magic and the joy of your life, you can't get stuck in linear time. You cannot allow yourself to get stuck in cause and effect, because that's what sets up the reward, punishment, shame matrix. All right? So here you are trained. Some of you even go to business school so that you could be successful in business. And what do you learn? You learn linear steps to achievement. Now, we're not knocking it completely. There's a lot to be said for looking at different components that you add, you know, so that you get your finished product of success. It's good to look at these individual pieces. Because you see, time loops around so much that with all the information available immediately, what are you going to do next? Well, how do you plan something? Well, I don't know. You know, it's if there isn't any future and there really isn't any past, because the only point is the present, then what? So it's what you've done is created an illusion of time moving faster or time moving slower. And the more slowly you move time is so that you can take it apart and figure out the individual pieces. And you wanted to do that. You know, some of you are very interested in physics, on how things work and how things are put together. You're curious. You know, so one time the channel's father said, okay, you know, this typewriter doesn't work anymore. Out it goes. And she said, oh, do you mind if I take it? And he said, sure. She took it apart. What's in there? How does it work? Hit the keys. Oh, look at how that goes. And she took it apart, and there was this big mess all over the place. And she had a good time taking it apart. It looked like, to her, it looked like she could put it together and create some kind of weird artwork with it. But you take things apart to look at them, to examine more slowly, more carefully, more precisely, to learn. If you're having a lot of fun, and just everything's just going really, really well. You notice how fast time seems to go? The perception is that time is just, whoop, it's moving. Well, since time is simultaneous, it means that time has an instantaneous quality. If you didn't slow time down, there would be no gap between thought and impact. You'd say, okay, I want to be there, and boom, you'd be there. That's the way it works on the other side, in the other dimensions where you don't, on the other planes where you don't have the time issue. And many of you are really used to that. But you come here, you realize, hey, you know, I've forgotten virtually everything I know. I've forgotten who I am. I've forgotten how the universe is put together. I've forgotten how to create. Okay, so how am I going to learn how to do it here? Well, let's install some time and slow it down so you can do it. So when everything's going well, it's like this is in flow. This is in the nature of alignment and harmony with time. It comes close to, or your perception is that it comes close to that quality of simultaneous time, in a sense that you are able to transcend a limitation of time, where you don't have that drag, that friction, that resistance. But let's say you have an obstacle, you have a problem, you have an issue. You notice how time drags? Oh, gosh, I'm bored. sitting here in this line waiting at the DMV, right? When they're going to call my number? Well, why is it slow? There's something for you to learn there. You're slowing it down so you can be present and pay attention to it. So that's why you did that. That's why you even created linear stuff, so that there would be a kind of a sequence that could be taught, in which you could look at various pieces in a particular order and put together your finished product. That's why you go to school and you learn the whole linear thing. You learn logic. You learn how to think in this limited form of time. You go to business school, you learn how to put together the business plan. You learn how to put together, you know, your accounting setup. You know, you learn how to do marketing and what the current ideas of the day are about what the marketplace is like. For those of you who've actually taken those types of courses in college and then gotten out into the real world, quote unquote, which has been moving and evolving and jumping around in time while you've been studying the linear processes that were discovered in the past, you discover that what you learned is not fully applicable. When you get into the real marketplace out there, you have to roll up your sleeves and have to learn by the seat of your pants. Yeah, you got a little bit of booster from, you know, business school, but the reason you go to business school is to get that degree, that nice MBA, so that you get a good job somewhere. That's logical, isn't it? You get the piece of paper, you get the good job, then you make more money, then you have more time and money and space. Okay? All works out really well, perhaps. But then come along a whole bunch of mavericks like yourself. I say, you know, this is really confining and limiting. I don't know exactly why, but I really got to bust out of this trap. I don't like the idea of having to work long, hard hours. Why do I have to work long, hard hours to be successful? Why not the lottery? Now, within your fields of play, within the sense of your power and your self-image, very few people can actually claim the lottery as being within their sphere of influence. But somebody's got to win it, right? Why not you? If you can get out of time and you can expand yourself large enough to where you can believe and virtually instant income. See, now you don't really believe in instant income. It's been morally approved of to work long, hard hours for success. That's the way it's supposed to be. And you're supposed to have ambition and drive yourself to make your money. And so, of course, young women are trained to look for ambitious men because they're going to make a lot of money and this will give good schooling for the child or the children. So everything seems to be oriented around this achievement success matrix. Reward, punishment, past, present, future, cause and effect. Can you feel the weight of it? Can you feel how heavy that is? It's amazing that people can achieve so many miraculous successes as they do. Now, some people do it the hard, long way. And they, quote unquote, pay their dues. And they come to a place where in their own belief system, they acknowledge that they have paid their dues and success is now rightfully theirs. And they expand their self-image and they step into their success. They could have skipped about 20 years of hard, long work, but they didn't know that. And competition, there's a whole nother trip. You're competing with who knows how many other people doing similar stuff to you. How are you going to be the one that people see and one the people notice? How do you lift your light above the crowd? Well, all of you have felt different, and truly you are. It's not just that typical adolescent fad, right? You know, the adolescent that says, I'm so different, I feel so different, I don't fit in. You know, the channel used to be a psychologist, and she had clients, and one of the clients came in and said, I just never fit in. I always don't feel I fit in. I feel so uncomfortable. Oh, well, tell me about your high school experience. Well, I was the head cheerleader. I dated the captain of the football team. And you didn't fit in? And you didn't feel like you belonged? That was an eye-opener for the channel. Because everybody in her high school said, oh, look at that. The head of the cheerleader that dates the football captain, the gorgeous, the beautiful people, the beautiful people of the school, you know? They're where we all want to be. They're beloved, they're admired, they're respected, they belong, they're it. They should feel at peace. They're the wondrous ones. They didn't feel it either. They didn't feel that. They felt, oh my gosh, I'm so awkward and I feel so frightened and of social situations. And so realize that everybody goes through that. But for you, dear ones, it's more than that. It's not just an adolescent awareness of your distinction from other people in society and looking at where you fit and where you place and how you compare. You're looking beyond the physical plane, which is a great advantage to you at this point. But originally, it was a disadvantage to you, because when you look for success and you look beyond the usual parameters and you don't seem to fit into and you don't feel comfortable with and you feel limited by the usual ways of creating financial abundance and personal success, you have a tendency to kind of leave your body and go out there where it feels free, and then when you come back it feels burdened. And that's part of why we were working so much on the embodiment issue yesterday. One of the greatest issues of embodiment is time. Now, the object here for you is to put everything into a flow of momentum and cyclical flow with energy so that it naturally comes to success. That's the key to working with success, is the momentum, the energy, and the cycles. We're not talking about quarterly reports. Because time is looping here, there, and everywhere, you perceive it as a pulsation. Time loops. They're cycles. Cycles are not exactly repetitions. They're very often spirals. Or they can be concentric circles. Or they can be infinity loops that take you out and bring you right back. There are lots of different movements of time. If you perceive time as moving very speedily, you'll notice that you're having fewer obstacles. You're healing faster. There's an acceleration of your personal and spiritual awareness. That means there's nothing to process and you don't have as much resistance. You're approaching infinity. If you move time faster if there is absolutely no resistance, no drag, no friction, no issues. If you're completely open, the channel of your work is free, is totally clear, you can go and touch infinity. And you can leap time. And you can leap from where you perceive yourself to be to a parallel reality. What's a parallel reality? A parallel reality is the continuous branching of time. You see, you are in a point in time. You choose this point and say, I'm here now. It is this day, this month, this year, this time. Here's my point of consciousness is right here. Where can you go from here? You have almost an infinite number of possibilities. But you're going to make a decision to go in a particular way according to your intention. And this is going to line up a whole bunch of possibilities in one area and delete them in another. Every decision that you make, every choice that you move into, every direction and intention that you place puts energy into certain possibilities and takes energy out of others. Whenever you make a choice, like, okay, shall we go eat dinner first? Or shall we go to a matinee movie first and then eat dinner? So we eat dinner first, we eat dinner at, you know, at 6 or so and get to the movie by 8. Or we'll go to the movie at 4 and we'll go to the dinner at like 6. Just a simple choice, right? You make one choice or the other, that's a whole different future attached to it. Seems so microcosmic. That's right. But every choice you make, there's at least two other realities that are potential realities that extend out from there. There's the yes choice, the no choice, and then this way perhaps, and then that way, maybe this plan type of choice. You have at least maybe three futures are being created every instant, every time you make a choice. Sometimes you make a choice that you think is poor. Later on it shows itself to be poor. At the time you think that's the best choice you can make. Later on you say, oh gosh, this was not a good choice. And if you go back to the choice point, you'd see, well, there's this other option, and if I'd taken that option, it would have been a different reality. Not to beat yourself up with or judge yourself or feel limited by, but just to realize that realities are continuously branching off all the time. So do not despair if you make a bad choice. Make a good choice. You can jump into a parallel reality that can take you where you need to go from somewhere else. There's infinite possibilities. Some possibilities, because of your intention, your focus, your emotional movement, and your momentum, become probabilities. But you see, that's why no predictions really work. Because what if you take what if you hear about, okay, the channel and Daniel were told that there's a prophecy that in August, California will fall into the ocean again. You know, this is again another one of those. Right? So, okay. So, you know, head to Montana, head to the Colorado Rockies, whatever, get away from California. Some people believing that will change their reality. So what if it doesn't happen? Oh, it's not going to happen to you, is it? Feel it. There's a reality that it probably is going to happen in, but it's not going to be yours. It's your choice. Because you're in a momentum. Here you are in California. You're in a momentum. That momentum is your life here. It's continuing. So what we're going to talk about, what we're going to share with you is a little technique today to jump parallel realities. You can take your point of consciousness and put it somewhere else. And when you do that, you kind of create a connection between the present and that point that enables you to get there more elegantly. So think about it. What would you like to achieve? What would you like to manifest? Those of you who came to this workshop had something in mind, probably, that you would like to manifest. Something you'd like to heal, to manifest, something you'd like to celebrate. So think about where you are right now. Think about what it would look like being there with the manifestation happening. And we want to point out that most people want to call this a goal. Don't do that. It's a point of consciousness. When you jump, you've got to jump consciousness. You don't jump form. Form is the actual physical manifestation of it itself. In order to master the physical plane, you have to master the consciousness, the energy of it, and the time. The form just follows. The form is automatic. Most people say, okay, I went to business school and here's what we learned. Linear steps to achievement. And the achievement is the goal. That's the manifestation in physical form. That form, that's the success we want. But you know better. You know that the success is actually truly an energy. It's a resonance. It's a field of energy that you experience and own as your own, that you feel in mastery of. If you take a point in your past where something very difficult happened to you that diminished your image of yourself, that made you feel less powerful, made you feel shame or pain or sorrow or sadness. That's a point in the past. And you have a line from the present point to the past point, and you're holding that connection, that rope, that channel, you're holding it open and resonating with it. You're making that past more real and you're continuing the reality of that past. Now, pasts are useful. That's why you get lifetime imprints, so that you have past lives, quote unquote. None of your lives are past. They're all happening right now. But your point of attention is here in this one. And you use all the information that's available to you on other levels through the fourth dimension of time, space, all this information available to you to help you have an orientation of what it means to live on the physical plane in a body. And in this particular lifetime, you have an idea of your past with which is complete with memories, which are entrainments of your subconscious mind to run certain routines. These routines are part of your rhythms of your day. Routine, going to sleep. Routine, getting up, brushing your teeth, going to the bathroom, eating breakfast, eating lunch, eating dinner, working, playing, washing your hair, whatever. All these are routines. You don't have to think how to do them anymore. They're loops. You put your point of attention on it, go back into your memory, and your subconscious does this automatically for you, goes back into your past, accesses the loop. You know how to do it. Instinctively, naturally. You've learned. That learning is in there. It's anchored in there. And you keep that learning alive. You can release certain learnings so that you don't keep referencing them. Learnings of self-diminishment. Learnings of sorrow and pain and shame. These memories in your subconscious can be readjusted. That's why people find some success, certain people do, with hypnosis work. Because they go into the subconscious and change those routines. And if it works for you, hey, that's a really fun way to do it. Just go lie down, be talked to for a half an hour, and get up and you have a new subroutine going on. You can do it yourself with a certain amount of attention, working with your subconscious. We're going to do a little bit of that, but not much. We don't have the time for all of that. We don't have time, but we know you do. And we want to get to the important parts of time so that you can have as much freedom of time as you can. All right, momentum. A component of success is that you're able to put your attention here in the present and put a piece of attention there to your point of success, not a goal, but a state of being. Create a link to it and resonate it and make it work, make it hold a resonance with intention. And then the momentum moves you there. The momentum is an energy pulsing, an energy cycling, an energy movement that you build, and then it becomes automatic. When you build a business, for example, you do a certain amount of work, and you do this, and you plan that, and you set up this foundation, and you set up that structure, and you move this, and advertise that, and whatever you do, and so on and so on. And eventually, it starts to happen. A momentum starts to happen. Things start to come in. Like a person who say who's wants to be a real estate agent. Well, maybe not at this particular time in the planet, but the channel and Daniel met a guy who was, I want to do real estate. And so he got into real estate and he met a few people and handed out some cards and he got a sale, and then they told some other people and handed out some more cards and he got talked to some more people and there was another sale. And presently his network networked for him, sent him business, and he no longer had to market himself. The word got out. It got around. A momentum was established. He didn't have to bother with that anymore. He was busy all the time doing whatever he wanted to do. However much he wanted to work, he could work. That's a momentum. And we're going to talk about how to establish a momentum now. Okay. First of all, you have to have energy. If you're going to create a momentum, and you are working a momentum that is outside consensus reality, cause and effect, time linearity, blah, 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 blah. Remember the heavy feeling we had earlier? All that stuff? Hanging on you? Without that? You want a success without that, right? Okay. But you got to have energy. In the consensus reality, if you follow consensus reality beliefs, rules, laws, whatever you call them, working long and hard, burning the midnight oil, you know, keeping your nose clean, you know, pushing, driving, ambition, da-da, da-da, perseverance, never letting up, whatnot, and all that. You know, pay your dues. get it done, do the extra mile, load yourself up, drive yourself nuts, be the workaholic. The workaholic, the admired prototype of the successful person. Not. Anyway, you don't want to do it that way. So if you were to do it that way, though, you would have the support of society for you. There's a certain amount of energy that the consensus reality gives as an institution to the continuation of itself as the institution. In other words, all the energy that people give into society is given back to those who are continuing the society. You'll see that in any institution, any organization. But if you're not giving to the society, society's not going to give you any energy. And this is a problem for spiritual people or people who are trying to do it on a new paradigm, trying to jump over the usual crap that they have to learn normally out there in the workplace, or what is taught to everybody as the principles of business and success. There is, to get a momentum going, you've got to have energy to begin it. It's like the rail, you know, the old locomotives. It takes so much energy to get it started, but once it's down the track and chugging along, doesn't take much energy anymore to maintain it. That's what you want. You want that energy to maintain itself and to continue to expand. So where are you, as a spiritual person, going to get energy? Consensus reality not going to give it to you. You have to get it yourself. Now, a lot of people feel isolated, alone, burdened, pressured, etc., etc., by this. It seems to be a tremendous, overwhelming obstacle to get it started from this place without falling into the old workaholic mode, the man is machine mode. Right? So you get your energy from where human beings got their energy from for all their endeavors before the industrial age. From the earth, from the forces, from nature, from spirit, from guardians, mentors, master teachers, ascended masters. You get it from there. And dear ones, because you actually believe all that exists, you have access to it. The average Joe in consensus reality is taught none of this exists. The forces of the earth is a conscious being to support and love. What? That seems really bizarre. Must be evil. The forces of nature? Oh, no, 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 no. Now that's some kind of evil, superstitious voodoo stuff. So they don't have access to that. They get the little drips and drabs that society gives them if they do it right. They see the carrot dangling, they go after it, you know. But you can get energy from the forces. We're going to do a meditation where you're going to get energy from the forces and activate your momentum. That starts the momentum. You have a dream, you have a vision, you have an idea what you want to manifest, you activate and call the forces, and you connect with the forces, you link with the forces, you network with the forces. They are your network to begin. All right. Then how do you maintain it? You maintain your momentum by continuously and gently expanding your self-image. Because once you get something started, that reality is going to start moving and expanding. And you need to be moved and expanded to stay up with it. If your self-image is large enough, you can hold a really large success. There are so many stories of people who reach success, who reach a pinnacle, who reach a place where they fulfill dreams and visions and imaginations that they've had. Oh, they made it. And then there's a horrible snapback. Sometimes in health, sometimes the loss of a loved one, sometimes, bankruptcy. Why does that happen? Because the self-image did not expand large enough for it to be consistent in alignment and to sustain that level of light and flow. That's all it is. You don't have to work so hard, but you can expand yourself, and this will pull the momentum into expansion and sustain levels of expansion. How do you expand your self-image? By intention. By reminding yourself who you are. Sounds like an old song by now, isn't it? Hello! Remind yourself who you are. Divine spark of consciousness. Reality creator. This is your playground. All that stuff. Remember? Now, you may say, okay, but I said that yesterday. Yeah, but, your reality might have expanded between yesterday and today. You want to keep expanding you. Because if you remind yourself today, you'll be greater than you were yesterday. The attention is not so much on the end result in form, because this is what directs the momentum, keeps it in aim, keeps it in focus, moving towards your desired direction. You do have a sense of that feeling. You claim that feeling. You expand your self-image to hold the resonance of that success. And then the form that you are looking as the physical manifestation will gradually be called in appropriate evolution of time. Okay, the appropriate evolution of time is that when you call a momentum into being and you say, this is what I like and this is what I desire, when you hold a resonance of your self-image as being there, as being able to handle that, your reality, if it were to speak to you, would say, okay, so here you are at this level, so this success would be natural to the level of being that you are. Good. So we'll put it in the hopper and we'll get it going. We'll evolve it for you. We'll grow it for you. There's going to come a point in time where you won't have to do this. But right now, this is the best thing. There's going to be a point where you're going to say, I'd like to experience that. And this is what it feels like, and I'm bright enough and powerful enough to really be able to really get into it. Bang! They'll be there. You didn't really want to do that, though, when you came to this planet. You wanted to learn how to create and put it together. If you wanted, like, bang, you wouldn't have chosen to go to some place where you forgot who you were. You wouldn't have been intrigued by this experiment. You'd be on another planet. So you'd say, okay, I want that, bang, okay. Let's see, I want that, bang, okay. On this planet, that would be, you'd kind of get like, gee, what's the point of being here? It's the process you came for, not the end results. You came to learn the process. So you slow time down and create an evolutionary unfoldment. Now, the most elegant evolutionary unfoldment kind of happens as if by magic. And you anticipate the magic, and you watch it unfold, and you respond to it, and you keep expanding yourself and playing with it, and feeling free and light with it. But it's not going to come in a linear line. Everybody likes to see this like a little graph, right? And they want to see the point. So you have this graph, okay? And here's a mount. You know, the height is a mount. And then you start here on the left side of the graph. And you have this, okay, this is time. Okay? So you have time and you have a mount of success. And what you imagine is that the line's going to go on this nice little diagonal. Okay? And you feel like if it's on this diagonal, you can just trust the process. It's going to be so nice because every day you see a little bit more. Oh, you feel so comforted and secure. It doesn't go that way. Here is the way success often goes. If we're going to try to put it on a two-dimensional graph. Here's a starting point. Here's time going out to your right and amount of success going up vertically. So we start it and we go, okay, up a little bit, down a little bit. Up a little bit more, down some. Up a little bit more, etc. Some people call that stair-stepping, but it's more like a waveform. And if you notice, the waveform has some peaks where you start seeing results. Oh, yeah, look. It's on its way. And then what happened? It goes down. Where'd it go? It's all slowed down. What do I do now? I've got to do more. I've got to, you know, push it. I've got to rev it up again. What's happening? And you can get all insecure. You know that space between where you set your project in motion and the culminating form fulfillment of it, there's a place where nothing happens or it doesn't appear to happen because it goes down kind of beneath some kind of line. You're like thinking, you're expecting to go at this nice, cozy diagonal so you wouldn't have to trust the process, right? But when it goes back down, oh my gosh, I've got to trust the process. Can I do this? Will it happen? I don't know. Did I do something wrong? I don't know. When it goes into that dip, it's process time. It's time for you to take apart, okay, what just happened in the peak of that wave? So that you can integrate that. And then you can say, okay, the next, you know, on the next wave, we can have more of this energy and so on, more like this. It's a chance to refine your vision. Or, if it's something like you're building a practice and you want clients to come in and so on and so on, and you have clients come in. Oh, great, clients are coming in. And then, no clients are coming in. They all canceled. What do you do? Hey, you know, it's a play day. What? What? But I got to keep this momentum going. I've got to keep that line, that diagonal going. I can't just go out and play. Everything is going to fall apart if I take my attention off of it for a minute. I've got to keep right on it. I've got to keep pushing. I've got to move more energy. What? Something's wrong. Something's not working. It's got to go on that diagonal. Panic. No, it's an indication that this is a time for you to integrate it in. And if you've been doing a big push or something like that, it's time to have, you know, relax, kick back, maybe just kind of balance it with something else. Your body's probably wanting to do something else. Please, can we go on a hike? Or please, can we go do something fun? Let's go visit so-and-so in another town, right? Let's go on a trip. Whatever your, you know, your body's going to have some idea. Oh, good, it's yeah, the client's canceled. I'm just going to get her. There's this really good book I want to read. I'm just going to go back to bed with the book. You see what we're saying? The energy of success is not about being a workaholic. It's about working less, but allowing the momentum to work for you. You want to integrate. You want to expand your self-image. If it all gets flat, if it all falls apart, just expand your self-image. If it still is flat and falling apart, then say, okay, what did I learn in the last success peak? All right. Let me really look out where I'm going here. Is this still where I want to go? Okay, yes, okay. And my energy's big enough for it right now. I'm stretching and imagining and feeling it and playing with what the energies of celebration of it are. How wonderful it'd be if that were like happening right now. This is how it'd feel. I got it. Okay. Is there any resistance? Is there any drag that's dragging me down? And if you check your drag, your resistance, and you find some, then process it and then take off. If there's no drag, then go ahead, take off. The drag or the resistance is this, that there be judgments, emotional debris coming up. See, if you panic, there's some juicy emotional debris, dear ones. It means there's something to look out. There's some fear in there to deal with. There's trust issues. Maybe you don't feel big enough. Maybe you feel big enough, but your fear of you may have a fear of success. Who knows what's coming in there? What's your drag? Maybe there's a judgment about somebody or about yourself or about the work or about the business or something. Maybe there's a resistance. Maybe, oh gosh, I worked too much. Pay attention. What is your resistance? Is there an agenda in there? I really wanted to be approved of. I see that now. I really wanted people to see that I was right, that I was smart. Okay. Release it. Maybe you got too visible. Oh, gosh, that's kind of scary. Ooh, I don't know how comfortable I am with being all that visible. Well, imagine yourself being extremely rich and famous. Right now, just imagine it. What would it be? You leave this room and there's paparazzi out there waiting for you. Following you in your car, recording your every move. You see pictures of yourself at checkout counters. Okay. Imagine yourself rich and famous. Okay? What does it feel like? What would it feel like to be at that level of being given so much energy of attention? There's a part of you that says, whoa, that's kind of scary and unpleasant. I wouldn't like that. Maybe you need to process that. Doesn't mean that you have to be rich and successful and famous, right? Unless you want to be. But if you can handle that and you can flow energy with that and be okay with that and recognize that, okay, so that might be whatever. Okay. Wow. And what's the implications of that? Where would you go on your vacations? No. If you're rich and famous, who would you hang out with? Would it change anything? What would it change? play with that. That's the seduction of the consensus. But you need to be able to deal with it without judgment and without fear. That's the ultimate gift of the consensus of success. It's real bizarre, isn't it? Because when people imagine being successful, they forget about that possibility. So there's a lot of people who are not going to be really successful because what if? What if everybody starts paying attention to their business? But if it doesn't, if you can go there in your mind, play with it without any judgments about anything, and say, okay, that's an interesting reality. Okay, that's it. It's an interesting reality. I could play there too. Mm-hmm. Then you can come back to what reality you are in, and there's not going to be any resistance. Because ultimately, even though you have to start the momentum with the forces of nature and your forces, when you're working in the consensus reality and you're creating a success in the consensus, ultimately, the consensus is what's going to pay your bill. Ultimately, as soon as you appear successful enough, the consensus will say, oh, look over there. Look, there you are. Okay, here's some attention. Here's some success. It's a, you know, it's a proverbial story of the family that has the son or daughter that wants to be the artist. Doesn't want to get a practical job and doesn't want to, you know, get a practical degree and settle and make money and have something to rely on. They want to do something wild and crazy like a rock band or some kind of weird art or something. And it's like, please, please get, do something, you know, that will support you and make good money for you and so, to fall back on, right? Well, what happens when that son or daughter, who's been kind of almost banished from the family in a way, all of a sudden starts being successful, making a lot of money? Oh, we knew he was going to be, or she was going to be successful all along. Always a great dreamer. Notice how they change their tune when you appear successful. That consensus reality will do that too. All right, so we're going to do a little bit of loops on time in a little while. We're going to have some questions and answers so we can kind of see where you want to explore. What we're going to give you some questions for you to think about during the break. Some of the questions is, what do you do between the launch of your project and its fulfillment in manifestation? What kind of dance do you do? Where do you lose your energy? And to what? Where do you buy into time scarcity? What do you fear? Time can work for you. It's your servant when you're not bound by cause and effect, linearity. And feeling dependent upon consensus reality, while at the same time being the rebel against consensus. Remember, no judgments here. No judgments about how business is done out there. No judgments about consensus reality. If you judge something, it will stick you. It will get you. If you judge somebody, are they going to want to give you attention and love and money? No. Don't judge the consensus. It will give you lots of love and attention and money. All right, so we're going to take a break. About 15, 20 minutes. And so you can think about these questions and do what breaks are about. And we will speak with you later. Farewell, dear ones.